Hi, this is ESPN's Dave Lamont, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective. We appreciate you tuning in whenever and however you're watching or listening, whether it's on YouTube, Facebook, or pretty much anywhere podcasts are found, you can find us. We're just over a week away from the start of East Carolina football's fall camp, but today we're actually talking Pirate baseball. Over the last several years, there's been so much talent entered the Pirate program and move on to the professional ranks. To be exact, you've had four guys drafted in the top two rounds of the Major League Draft in the last three drafts. And right now, very excited to be joined by one of those guys from the Bowie Bay Sox, former Pirate second baseman, Connor Norby. Connor, we appreciate your time this afternoon.
Appreciate you guys having me.
Absolutely. Great to catch up with you. Excited to have you on the show for the first time. Before we dive into many of the topics that we will, just bring Pirate Nation up to speed on your 2022. I know you started things off in high A ball with the Aberdeen Ironbirds, and now you're, like I said, with the Bowie Bay Sox.
I mean, it's been unbelievable. It's been eye-opening for sure. It's been a challenge. It's been a grind. There's been a lot of struggle. There's been a lot of ups. It's a little bit of everything, but I'm loving the position that I'm in right now and exciting. It's very exciting for me to go to work every single day.
But when you got that call up, was that something that you knew was probably going to happen when it did, or was that, catching you a little by surprise?
You try to be in the moment as much as you can. You try to not worry about that stuff because it is out of your control, but is it in the back of your head? Of course it is. Me and my roommate, and then we're two of the three that were called up, and we would have talks about it all the time. Like, if they're going to do it, they should do it this day. And it just, but it's like, this is not something we can control really. So you can't really focus on it too much, but I don't think it wasn't unexpected. We know how the system kind of works here, but it was a little bit, it was for sure awesome to get called up, and you just keep working your way up the ladder, but I don't think it was too unexpected at the time.
One of the things that we were discussing off the air just a few minutes ago is the way the Orioles are trying to improve your versatility in addition to playing second base. You've also DH'd a little and also played left field.
Yes, I have. It's just it's just increasing versatility. We have a guy in our organization who's a little bit older than me, and he plays both, and he came in as infielder and started working on the outfield, and they kind of see me as a little bit like that, and I brought it up to them several times about working out there, and they finally gave me the approval, and once a week out there, and I'm enjoying it so far. But it's just all about increasing versatility and value to yourself, as well as trying to help the team win in any way possible.
Since this is the first time we've had you on the show, since you left East Carolina, and just talk about that transition from, high level, one of the premier college programs in the country, and making that transition to professional baseball. What was that like going back to the summer of 2021?
I mean, it's incredibly difficult, to be honest. It's every single day. We're college baseball. You're playing four times, maybe at most five out of the week. Very rarely five, actually, but it's incredibly difficult. And my roommate, who's a high school draft, and I tell him all the time, I give mad kudos, mad respect to guys who can handle it out of high school and have success with it, because it is extremely hard. But you just, it's like anything, you got to just take it and roll with it, and you figure it out along the way. And I mean, this is my first full year, and I'm still figuring it out. And I don't think you really figure it out until you start getting some years under your belt, for sure. But it's a challenge for sure.
Thus far, how is the 2022 season going for the team as a whole?
I mean, I was with Aberdeen, and we won the first half, and we had to put a bunch of W's in the win column there, and then came here and came to a kind of a struggling Bowie team, and I don't know what our record is right now, but I believe we're like 14-15-5, 15-6, something like that, and we've kind of just not missed a beat. And it's just, I think the three of us that got called up with myself, Kobe, and Colton, we kind of know how to play with each other, and we know how each other works. And joining an already talented Bowie team where they just needed a spot filled here, and just a little more energy, and we've gelled right in, and we haven't missed a beat, and it's been a lot of fun so far, and I'm really excited to be a part of this team and keep moving up the ladder.
You referenced those guys you were caught up with there within the Orioles organization. I referenced in the open Gavin Williams that we had already discussed in the Cleveland Guardians organization, pitching for the AA Akron Rubber Ducks. And you have Burley, who's on the doorstep of the show, doing so well at AAA Memphis with the Redbirds. But just talk about the relationships that you have with those guys from your time as a Pirate, and how you guys stay in touch now.
Well, me and Gavin were roommates our last year at East Carolina, so we've stayed pretty close throughout this time, and me and Franny have been close from day one. And Burley was a little older than I was, but it was when I met Burley, it was all about kind of trying to see what he does and try to kind of emulate him in a sense, but also be your own person. And we haven't really talked too much. I talked to him a little while ago, actually, but he's a great guy to lean to and talk to about some things, and he's having an unreal year, and I hope he gets that call any day now. And I'm very proud of those two guys and where they've come and who they are now.
And you see the numbers Burley's putting up, hitting right at 340, 17 home runs, I think about 70 RBI, and it shows you just the talent that the Cardinals organization has there in the big leagues right now, because you would expect with those kind of numbers that a guy would probably get the call.
There's a lot of different things that go into calling someone up. It's a lot of it's timing. You gotta have really perfect timing, especially when you start talking about major league debuts and stuff like that. It's all about timing, and there's a lot of pieces that have to move around for it to happen. But he's put himself in a perfect position to get a call any day, and I hope he does.
And one of the things with Burley, obviously a tremendous career with the Pirates, but it's been awesome to see him hitting the home runs that he's been hitting in the big – or not in the big leagues, but in professional baseball, with that wooden bat, because, he hit bombs with the Pirates, but not to the level that he is now.
I think – I saw him working out during COVID, and I think COVID was a very beneficial thing for a lot of different players, and I include myself in that. He just went to work, and it's not really much of a transition between metal and wood bat, in my opinion. It's, you just find your swing. You got to play with some things. You got to tweak some things, and everything's a process. And he figured out what his process was, and he's made it work for him.
No doubt. And you talk about that hard work that he put in, not to get off on a tangent, but Trent Britt I know was very instrumental in that at Next Level Training Center. So shout out to him. We appreciate his support of the program. And he's definitely invested a lot, you know, with Pack, Burley, and a lot of guys who've come through the ECU program.
Yeah, absolutely. Trent's the man, and he keeps that place running and open to even us who want to go in and get a workout in, and he's always there, and he'll talk to you for forever, it seems like, at times. But he's awesome, and his entire – that whole family is awesome.
You talk about that close relationship you had with Gavin, how you guys were roommates. Talk about your relationship with Coach Godwin. I know prior to the 2022 season, you had the opportunity to come back and speak at the ECU baseball banquet. So just talk about that and, you know, how you really, you know, emphasize that relationship that you and Coach developed and how you met regularly, I guess even daily, and where that led you or how that led you to where you are now.
I don't think there are really any words to do Coach Godwin justice for what he did for me. And I owe that guy everything because he's the main reason I'm standing here today. He's like a second dad, to be honest. And he'll text me pretty much every week, it feels like. And we stay in close touch. But that guy, I owe a lot of things to that guy.
And being a part of so much success yourself, and going to multiple super regionals and, you know, going toe-to-toe with Vanderbilt last year in that Nashville super regional, just talk about what it was like and how different it was, you know, to watch as the Pirates were making that run this year, winning 20 games in a row and doing everything that they did and being on the doorstep of Omaha once again.
They started off slow, but they just had to find their stride, and you got to figure out who you are as a team, and every team's different and every year's different. They figured it out, and it was awesome watching that whole streak and the run they had. It was unbelievable. And I remember I texted Blake, the operations guy there, and I was like, hey, I see no one's got my number, so get my jersey ready. I'll be there this weekend for the Super, jokingly. And I remember getting a text from Coach Godwin, and he thought I was serious. And I think I was like, no, I can't make it, unfortunately, but I'll be watching. And that whole run that they had was unbelievable.
After the conclusion of your Pirate career last year, I mean, you know, when you knew you were going to get drafted very highly, you know, going there in the second round, just talk about that process. So much goes into it. So just, you know, give Pirate fans or anybody else who may be tuned in a glimpse behind the curtain and, you know, and just everything that's involved in making that decision, you know, when to go pro and so on and so forth.
Everybody's different, and every team, it's one of those things you can't control. And I told myself the whole year not to worry about it, because at the end of the day, if you don't play well, it doesn't matter. And I preached that to myself, and I really didn't focus on the draft that much, really. And I think it got near the end of the season, and I'd been hearing some things, and I'd been in a good position at that point. But I just knew I had to keep playing well, because at the end of the day, like I said, it doesn't matter. If you don't play well, it doesn't matter. But when the season ended, it felt like it was a complete mess. I was just like, with teams trying to reach out, and I just remember I told my agent, I was like, hey, like, give me a couple of days. Like, my college career is probably just ended, and I really don't want to answer questions right now to anybody or talk to anybody. I need to take a step back and just get away. And he's like, no problem. And he let everyone know. And about a week after, the team started calling again. And you have scout meetings near the end of the year. You also have them in the beginning of the year. I remember I went from three teams that wanted to talk to me at the beginning of the year. And then right before the last weekend of the year, when you go through scout meetings again, which all gets run through Coach Palumbo, I had 29 of 30 teams. So that made a long 2 days or whatever, 3 days that I had calls with teams. And then about a week after the season ended, calls started picking up again, text messages with scouts and stuff and things like that. I had a few draft workouts. I had to go to San Diego for one. I was supposed to go to Tampa for one, but the hurricane kind of changed that. And then the morning before the draft started on a Sunday. On Saturday morning, I was in Atlanta for another workout. And then probably the last week, it gets very quiet. You don't really hear a lot. I remember Baltimore was actually one of the teams I didn't hear from that much. I remember having a phone call with them a couple of days before the draft, and it was about a 30-second conversation, and it was nothing related to baseball. And that's a lot of it's like that. A lot of the questions can be random, and they're just trying to figure out who you are as a player, just like if you're recruiting a high school guy for college. It's a lot of similar kind of talks like that. And then going into the draft, you just don't know what's going to happen. So you try not to expect anything.
Right there, you essentially, you referenced the culture aspect of the East Carolina program, kind of indirectly just talking about Coach Godwin, Coach Palumbo, Coach Knight, et cetera, and, being so thorough not to just bring anybody in. That's one of the reasons Coach has the hesitations to bringing guys in from the transfer portal like many programs do now, because the culture is so precious. But just if you would just talk about how that culture prepared you for professional baseball. I asked you something along those lines earlier, but specifically, the mission week and everything that Coach Godwin, Coach Palumbo, and staff pour into it.
Well, when you go and recruit, I mean, I can only speak so much for Coach Godwin and Coach Palumbo and Austin Knight and all of them, because they do it at the highest level. And I don't know exactly what all the criteria that goes into picking a player, but I know the things I can tell you is you have to be, obviously, like, being talented is one, but you got to look at the academics. They're not going to bring in some guy who can't make it in the classroom. He can't show up to class. You got a guy who has a good character, has good morals, discipline, those type of things. There's a lot of different things that go into recruiting a player, because being talented is one thing, but if they can't make it through school and can't make it through times where you're going to struggle, then you're just going to set yourself up for failure and set that player up for failure, because they got to be able to handle everything that comes with being a college athlete. And there's a lot that goes into being a student athlete, but there's a lot of different things that go into that.
There most definitely is, and that's kind of where I was going with the question, just that mindset of excellence in every aspect of your life, whether it's in the community, in the classroom, as the East Carolina baseball program, sets team GPA records each and every semester, it seems like. But just that's where I was going with it, just the mental and physical grind and development, and how that prepared you for the rigors of professional baseball.
I mean, you go through a lot. Like, fall practice is, you come in summer school, even in summer school for freshmen, is tough. Like, that was probably the toughest 5 weeks I've had. But then you go into the fall, and the fall is always tough. It's long days, gets very repetitive sometimes. And then they bring in all these guys to help work with you. You got Navy SEALs coming into work. You got mental skills coaches coming into work. Then you got Fridays at 5 a.m. Doing conditioning before class. And then you got scrimmages, and then you got mission week. There's a lot that goes into the fall, and the fall is not the most fun in the world, but you understand that the fall makes the spring, and the work that you put in the fall is what leads to the success in the spring. And I mean, that's the whole point of it. You see who can handle it. You see guys push through. You got to that's when you got to get better. That's when the team's made, is in the fall. It's not made. I always said the wins don't happen in the spring. The wins happen in the fall.
Here, I guess about a little over a month ago now, back in June, the decision was made by another Norby to attend East Carolina University, a left-handed pitcher, and that is your brother, Ethan. So if you would, I know that was something that you expressed your thoughts on social media.
He tells the story all wrong. He makes me look like the bad guy. He actually wasn't really that interested in becoming a Pirate. And his whole idea was he wanted to go on his own path, and I was all for that. He wanted to do his own thing, and I'm like, do it. I'm like, this is your career. You make your own decisions. And but I was like, just don't close that door. Because I know what Cliff and I know what Coach Palumbo and Austin and I know what the Pirate community can do for you. Just don't close the door. And he was like, fine. He started getting a lot of recognition, and he started pitching well and started getting in front of the Austin Knight. And I remember him telling me that he was telling me everything throughout the whole recruiting process. And then they've told me that they were going to offer him, and I wasn't allowed to say anything. And then he went on his visit, and he called me right after the visit was over and told me how it went, and didn't really tell me too much. And then he calls me again probably 15, 20 minutes later, and he's like, I'm going to be a Pirate. And I obviously was ecstatic for him. He's earned it. He's had a tough road. He's had a lot of adversity and a lot of things that didn't go his way as far as injuries, and he had COVID, the COVID year in high school. So he had a lot of stuff that he had to go through, and he worked his tail off to get put in that position. And we're a Pirate family, I guess. So he'll be joining them in 2021.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, you know, you bring up an excellent point as far as, you know, him doing his own thing, and I'm glad he chose to be a Pirate. But you know, so many times fans get consumed with, you know, just wanting a guy to play for East Carolina because they're an excellent player, and they don't look at all the factors that go into it. Because, you know, every individual's different. You know, whether it's having an older sibling that have played there, you know, maybe it's a parent who, you know, a father who played there, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, each person has to travel their own path and do what's right for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what he kept preaching to me, and I was in full agreement with him. He wanted to do his own thing, but at the end of the day, what his journey led to is he made the best decision he could at what he thought was right, and I believe it is right for him. And I know he's ecstatic and he's excited, and he has me to kind of give him some, I'll tell him a little bit, but I'll save some things for him to find out himself. But I have obviously a little insight on how it goes, but he's also different than me. He handles things different than I do. He operates different than I do. He's a completely different player than I am. He's a left-handed pitcher. I'm a second baseman. And people sometimes forget that we're total opposites in that sense. But I know he's excited. My mom, my family's excited. I'm excited. And I know Coach Godwin's excited. But it was awesome to see that he wanted to go there and become a Pirate.
No doubt. Well, Connor, we really appreciate your time this afternoon. Appreciate all that you did for the Pirates. Continued success there in the Baltimore Orioles organization. I look forward to seeing you play at Camden Yards in the not too distant future, and would love to be able to make that trip up to Baltimore to watch you. But look forward to having Ethan in the purple and gold in the near future, and we'd love to have you back on the show down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you. Thank you guys for having me on.
That is former Pirate second baseman Connor Norby. Really appreciate his time this afternoon. And, you know, and during that conversation with Connor, we referenced some of those Pirates who had been drafted very highly in recent years. You had Gavin Williams going in the first round following the 2021 season, and Gavin like I mentioned, is currently in Double-A with the Akron Rubber Ducks in the Cleveland Guardians organization. In 31 and two-thirds innings, Gavin has allowed just 17 hits while striking out 36. He has struggled with his command a bit since getting the call-up to Double-A, but Gavin Williams is pitching very well in the Cleveland Guardians organization. You also have I talked about Burley. Burley with the Memphis Redbirds, the St. Louis Cardinals, AAA affiliate, and Burley is batting .338 with 17 home runs and 69 runs batted in as of Monday morning. So continued success to those guys. You also have Jake Washer with the South Bend Cubs, which is the Chicago Cubs High A affiliate. Wash is batting .301, 13 home runs, 31 runs batted in, also has 10 doubles. And you have Thomas Francisco. Franny's in the St. Louis Cardinals organization. Then you have Jarrell Cotton, who's logged right at or just over 30 innings for the Minnesota Twins. And then you also have Sean Armstrong, who had been in the big leagues with the Orioles as well as the Tampa Bay Rays, maybe a short stint with the Seattle Mariners. But Sean is pitching for the Tampa Bay Rays and has also pitched about 30 innings, like Jarrell Cotton has for the Minnesota Twins. Taking a look at what some of the ECU baseball Pirates are doing in the summer leagues, you had Jacob Jenkins-Cowart and Ryan McChrystal, who played for the Burlington Sock Puppets in the Appalachian League. JJC, I think he only got about 35 or 40 at-bats as he wasn't there an awful long time as he went back to East Carolina to help with the Cliff Godwin baseball camp. But Ryan McChrystal, hitting in excess of .370, I think two or three home runs and probably 15 or 20 doubles. Ryan McChrystal has had a heck of a summer for the Burlington Sock Puppets, and hopefully he will carry that into the 2023 season for East Carolina. You had Beaker, Jordan Little, Eric Ritchie, and Luke Nowak with the Bethesda Big Train. That is the Bethesda Big Train that Alec Burleson played with two or three summers ago and really became a fan favorite there during that summer of, I believe it was 2019, maybe it was 2020. Or no, it definitely wasn't 2020, but Burley had all that success. And those four Pirates that I just named, Merritt Beaker, Jordan Little, Eric Ritchie, and Luke Nowak, have had a lot of success with the Bethesda Big Train during the summer of 2022. Josh Moreland has been playing for the Bourne Braves up in the Cape Cod League. Josh has three or four home runs, but some of those struggles that he experienced during the 2022 season, it seems as though it's carried over, but not having been able to really see his at-bats outside of a few, it's tough to have much to say there. But he has had a few big games and hit some bombs for the Bourne Braves. Danny Beal and Justin Wilcoxon are playing in the CPL, the Coastal Plain League, for the Ashboro Zookeepers. And then you also have Joey Barini playing for the Holly Springs Salamanders. Danny Beal has pitched very well. Wilcoxon's hitting close to .300, probably two or three home runs. And Joey Barini, believe the last I saw, was batting around .250 for the Holly Springs Salamanders. You have Josh Groves and AMAC, Alec Makarevich, playing for the Newport Gulls in the New England Collegiate Baseball League. They're having very good summers. AMAX hitting around .280 with, four or five home runs. And then in the Valley League, you have Carter Cunningham, Wyatt Lunsford-Schinkman, and Treya Savage playing for the Charlottesville Tom Sox. Carter Cunningham is batting in the upper 300s, maybe even over 400. He's had a tremendous summer. Very glad that Carter removed his name from the transfer portal and will be returning East Carolina for the 23 season. So much potential there with Carter Cunningham, who was a high school teammate of Zach Agnos there in Virginia. And then Wyatt Lunsford-Schinkman, he really came on late in the season, pitched very well. Saw some tough innings there in the Super Regional against Texas, but Wyatt Lunsford-Schinkman has a very bright future with the Pirates. I believe he has an ERA of less than two this summer with the Charlottesville Tom Sox. And then you also in the Valley League have Cam Klotch playing with the Strasburg Express. Cam's batting about 280. I think he has five or six home runs. And we saw him do it in spot starts. I think he started 30 or 35 games this year for the Pirates. And hopefully he will continue to develop more and more consistency and maybe be an everyday guy we shall see in 2023. But we really appreciate everyone tuning in. That concludes this episode of the program. Again, thank you so much to Connor Norby, former Pirates second baseman and All-American, for coming on for the initial time. We look forward to having Connor back on in the future. But for the entire Sports Objective team, I'm Bubba Rosenbaum. And we'll talk to you soon. And as always, go Pirates.